Do you want to talk about how you're feeling right now?
Oh, so many questions. What does this mean? What do I do?
Go on! Tell them what you think!
I liked it.
I think your calculations may have been off.
I think it's all right.
I just have a lot of feelings.
This pleases me.
These are perfectly normal feelings.
Do you even know what you sound like when you talk like that?
Now, shall we begin?
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the Real Feels Podcast. Hey, it's Drew here.
And Nathan.
Nathan.
Every time. I don't know. I'm
going to do a different song every single time. Guys, we are here. It is the 4th of July.
Happy Independence Day.
Yes. And I know all y'all across the pond, my favorite meme every single time that I see on the 4th of July is the one of the Queen Mum looking very, very perturbed, and like there's the caption that says like the colonies are getting restless.
I don't even know if I've seen that, but that's amazing.
It resurfaces every single year somewhere around the interwebs. It's funny. It's funny to me.
Does England get mad about this day?
I don't know. I don't see why they would.
I mean, it was a long time ago.
You'd think so.
And we kind of handled our shit. You know what I mean? Like. We're where we're at. We're the kid that grew up and is like moved out of the house and we're doing fine.
You're not my dad. Yeah.
Actually, you probably are. I have a lot of history with you. Like, you're most of my tradition. Yeah, yeah. We'll write. We'll be best friends
we'll
now.
Be right now. Oh gosh. All right. Hey guys. You know what? Today is July 4th, and we have a rather special and classic Independence Day.
Movie. What could it be?
I think it might be 1996's Independence Day.
Roll it!
Police and the fire departments are asking.
It is morning. Stay off the phone. You wake up.
Hey, come on.
You greet your loved ones. You grab the morning paper. And although it seems like any ordinary day, it isn't. For one extraordinary reason.
A historic and unprecedented event has occurred. The question of whether or not we are alone in the universe has been answered.
This is so cool.
More ships have just arrived over India, England, and Germany.
I really don't think they flew 90 billion light years to come down here and start a fight.
We've got to stop them! Kill us all!
They're using our own satellites against us. The clock is ticking.
We must launch a counteroffensive with a full nuclear strike.
Over American soil.
If we don't strike soon, there may not be much of an America left to defend.
Being exterminated.
Let's kick the tires and light the fires.
We're looking at worldwide destruction in the next 36 hours.
Oh, you can't hit nothing!
Should we win the day? The 4th of July will no longer be known as an American holiday, but as the day when the world declared in one voice, we will not go quietly into the night. We will not vanish without a fight. We're going to live on. We're going to survive. Today, we celebrate our Independence Day.
That's what I call a close encounter.
Okay.
That monologue.
That, ah.
our Independence Day.
It is so good. It is so well written. This movie, even though it doesn't, like, there's a lot of tropey one-liners. And we're going to talk about a writer that is made up, and his name is Gary. And Gary is just a fictional character that writes every movie that we talk about.
Gary originated back in the our episode one for Tremors. Every single thing that we found to be very odd in Tremors, it was Gary's fault.
And so Gary gets some really good stuff right, and then he also gets some stuff that it's like, well, wait, what?
What's it? Maybe I'm going to throw it at a dartboard.
But I feel like he wrote most of these one-liners that, like, welcome to Earth.
No, welcome to Earth is not bad.
No, but he got a standing ovation in that writer's room for that. Like, they're like, dude, that is brilliant.
Gary, where have you been all along? Because they're on Earth. Because
they were stumped, and they're like, oh, okay, so he just meets the alien. He's gonna hit him, because the alien's going to be coming at him. But what line could he possibly say? And Gary just smoked a cigarette. Welcome to Earth. And the whole room falls silent for just a second before exploding with their own Independence Day celebration. Ba-ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Yeah.
Oh, good
Lord. Okay.
All right. So we have director Roland Emmerich, who is, you know, honestly, he's got quite a few movies under his belt that a lot of people would clearly recognize, like, you know, 2012 or The Day After Tomorrow, seeming to be a theme
little,
of, like,
little trend there, bud.
But if you go further back, what do we got? We got Godzilla, again, more destruction of cities. The Patriot, how appropriate for today as well.
He's a time period.
And even Across the Universe, more aliens, Stargate, Universal Soldier, and, you know, I mean.
And he's German.
And he's just a German. But, fun fact, when the premiere for the movie was actually going to be happening, they did it at the White House. So, you know, how apropos. And he was originally going to be sitting next to President Clinton, and he gave up his seat so Bill Pullman could sit next to him. So it's like, President, doctor. And he was more afraid that the explosion of the White House was, he was afraid of Clinton's,
not gonna go
Clinton's
over
response.
Very well. Wait,
like he's
going
to turn around and punch him in the face,
yeah,
or something.
You think the president's going to be like, oh, you made a movie about us, like, winning.
But you blew up the
You blew
White
up my house.
I live there.
Did you? And Bill Pullman, you know, says, like, no, but I did.
You know, actually, the same interior set for the White House was used for, like, four other movies. So, I mean, it's good to see that they were actually, like, repurposing, you know, different sets that are so iconic. The White House that was actually blown up was 1/12 the size.
Oh,
of the actual White House. I mean, obviously they're not going to build something full scale model, but
what do you think of the special effects for that? Like, for the that whole, like, all the explosion stuff.
You know what? That explosion, I think, is just fine. The explosion in the tunnel, however,
okay,
is a little. That's a little lackluster.
That's a lot of copy and that's like my meme creating, you know, quality. I don't make great photoshopped memes, but
now
that's my quality.
I mean, speaking of Photoshop, did you love the Air Force One that's clearly, like, airbrushed in
and barely making it out of this?
They're pulling over the hangar doors at Area 51. It's like, what is that? Is that a poster? Did you, like, prop a poster into the camera?
Someone's
lens?
Dragging, like, a little cardboard cutout of it, making the sound.
Pew 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 pew. Gosh. Guys, you have a fantastic cast with Independence Day. You have Will Smith. You have Jeff Goldblum. You have Bill Pullman. Robert Loggia.
Adam Baldwin, who I love. And I love Adam Baldwin.
It's just it's a good cast. And more importantly, Brent Spiner. Data. Love Data.
You've got Buckwheat?
Yes.
You have Ross.
You do.
Mae Whitman is the
we're bringing it back again.
It's all in
if
the loop.
If you want more of the kid who played Buckwheat, guys, you got to go back and listen to our episode on Little Rascals, which was from 1993. So this,
yeah,
we keep bringing things back. We brought back Reba. Now we're bringing back Buckwheat.
If Reba was in more stuff, trust me, we would be hitting Reba up every time. But
so If no one has actually seen Independence Day,
Harry Connick Jr.
First off, that's right. Harry Connick Jr. is in it. That's right. I forgot about him
in
the locker room.
And he's such like a bud, like
right.
Big Daddy. Like the bromance is
the
real.
The bromance is there. There's that mishap of a scene where he's on the ground kneeling, and he picks up the diamond ring that Will Smith has for his fiance, and he's all like, "Steve, this is a diamond."
It
looks like he's proposing, and the guy another like soldier walks in, and he sees, and he's like, "Oh, okay, none of my business."
Nowadays, that guy would whip out his phone and be like, "This is going on Facebook.
I'm can't going live."
Vivica A. Fox.
Oh, that's the girlfriend
as the stripper.
As the stripper.
Oh, ballet
stripper, like, mom, girlfriend.
Come on.
So they have aliens invading, and which I find it to be really odd because, again, no one notices the aliens are even there until they're clearly at the moon. You're telling me people who literally watch the sky for a living
way
don't
to go NASA
it,
way to drop the ball
don't notice it until they're at the moon? I mean, a basic telescope could tell you that they were already within distance.
Yeah, it's a little we'll just say that they, you know, hyperspace there.
Ludicrous speed. Oh my gosh.
But if you bypass that, if you just blind yourself to that, this movie totally
makes
sense.
If you ignore everything wrong with the film, it's fantastic.
just close your eyes for just a second.
If you
know most of it.
If you ignore everything wrong with the film, you're left with Will Smith punching an alien in the face and Bill Pullman giving a great speech.
Great speech. Ah.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so the aliens are invading, and everyone is kind of freaking out, but not really understanding what's happening. And the ships, they're positioning themselves over all of the major cities.
That's weird.
Which, again, how do they know what the major cities are? How do they know which iconic landmarks to be hovering over?
I would, the monument part was kind of like, but I think probably heat signatures, where it's like, oh, there's a lot of bodies, right? I mean, like,
but lots of buildings have bodies.
True, but I mean, like, we're talking, yeah, like the whole, like, what, like, targeting the White House and stuff.
Right.
It's a little.
But I mean, if they're going to go for, like, heat signatures, why aren't they, like, hovering over Central Park?
I mean, all them homeless.
Oh, no. But, I mean, okay, so the aliens are coming in, and everyone's kind of freaking out, and they're trying to figure out exactly what is going on, and, again, mass panic is happening.
There's people coming. There's people staying.
Yeah, and some people are just, like, standing outside the front lawn, just, like, staring. Doing that thousand
I don't
want to
miss
stare.
This.
It's like, I don't understand what's happening here. And, of course, it rumbles and shakes everything. And the little kid is going around going, like, Mama, look outside. She's like, not now, baby. It's too early. And it's shaking the whole house. And you have Will Smith, like, is there an earthquake? Oh, it's not even a four-pointer. Go back to bed. They're not even
don't worry.
In Los Angeles. If this isn't an 8.0, I don't even care.
Yeah. I'm not even getting up.
They start to rally the troops and figure out exactly what is going on. And I love the fact that on the news, after, like, the mass panic has already, like, set in, he's announcing to everyone in Los Angeles, please do not fire your guns at the alien ship. You may inadvertently start an interstellar war.
Yes.
Which, you know what? It's fantastic timing with Trump announcing our new Space Force.
Hey, because we're ready. Or we will be.
Oh, my gosh. The Space Force.
It
makes my head hurt. But it's hilarious. Oh, man.
Someone had to do it, though. Someone had to be the laughing stock for a second, and then who knows?
Okay. So we're slowly introduced to a lot of different characters that have a multitude of arcs that they're going to be going through. You have Jeff Goldblum meeting his father in the park, and they're playing chess, and he's trying to tell him, you know, you're doing this, you're not doing that. And he's like, what did you do? You went to MIT for so many years so you could become a cable repairman. And he's like, thanks, Dad, love you too.
Yeah,
I'm gonna leave now. And besides, that's checkmate. No, this is not bye, Dad. This is not checkmate.
How did he do it? All three of the love arcs of Goldblum, Will Smith, and Pullman.
Don't forget Randy Quaid's love arc with his kids.
Okay.
No, Batman sacrifices himself.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert, we all lose. No, I'm just kidding.
That's why we're here.
That's why. It's a movie, Drew.
It's a movie.
So, it's funny that, we'll take these four love arcs. You have the rock solid, but yet falls apart, you know, ends because of death, you know, president and first lady. Mm. You have the love that was a little bit rocky at first, but is going to be joined forever, you know, in holy matrimony, Will Smith.
Mm.
You have
the love that got away.
The love that got away that is being reunited of that. And
the love that was lost.
That's just been battered, you know?
Right.
Not being a dad to three kids in a trailer.
Right. Okay, so let's go through that. So we have the president with his wife. And they're joking in the very beginning where the president, you know, gets the phone call and he's like, I must admit I'm lying next to a beautiful brunette who's sleeping. And you're like, Mr. President. The wife's like, I hope he didn't let her up and like stay, you know, watching TV too much. And he's like, no, she went to bed.
Which is Mae Whitman, and she's in like Arrested Development. She's in a bunch of stuff. She grows into a very attractive woman. So
I love the banter, the relationship that the kid and her father have, where, you know, he's walking away and she's on the phone. She's like, hi, mommy. Daddy, let me stay up and watch Letterman. And he's like, traitor. It's just this adorable little thing. And now, you know, throughout the movie, you have them separated due to this disaster. And the kid, I mean, obviously doesn't truly understand what's going on. She knows that she's being, like, rushed onto Air Force One and being brought to the base. And it's the mother who ends up getting crashed in the helicopter, rescued by Will Smith's
Vivica
A. Fox, soon to be fiance. And it's this joke where they know each other's lying. And, you know, she calls him out on him when he lies to her, trying to like cover for her feelings. And it's not until later where she is internally bleeding.
Dying.
And she's dying. And the doctor keeps trying to tell him, like, if we could have gotten to her sooner. And then he gets interrupted and he's like, I'm sorry, what were you saying? Okay, if we could have gotten to her sooner, and then something else interrupts, and he's like, okay, sorry, my wife is over there, and the daughter needs to go say, what? If we could have gotten to her sooner, she probably...
It's moments like this.
You need to live. You're losing moments.
Get in there.
Get in there. And so he tells her, like, oh, the doctors think that, you know, you're just going to be just fine. And she smiles
Which
at him.
Which is kind of a...
In, like, that painful way.
Poor
and she
lie.
Tells him, like, lie here.
Yeah.
And you can hear the voice crack. And she, like, it's a weird moment where, like, I think he wants to be truthful and emotional, like, with his wife. Like, have that moment of, like, you're gonna die. And, like, this really sucks. But I think at the same time, it's like, I have to be strong for a nation.
Yeah. Oh, gotta go do a press conference.
But
P.S. we're under attack by aliens.
Let me see. So what? Will Smith is in the Air Force, and his lovely lady Vivica A. Fox is a exotic dancer.
Which he's also a very rare breed, not just being Will Smith, but because the fact that he can fly both a fixed wing and a helicopter. That's not very common.
Oh, yeah, he does take the helicopter later on.
Which, because I looked it up, I was like, wait a minute. Most pilots in the Air Force or in the Navy, you are trained in one thing because they want you to be an expert at that craft.
Okay, didn't know that.
Sometimes you'll get, like, cross-training, and some of them will be, you know, depending on what, like, your duty is, like, especially if you're if you're in combat duty.
Duty.
But, like, it really matters to be, like, the best in that field. You're not spending that much time, like, oh, I'm going to go fly helicopters today. You know, if you're going to be a BA pilot for, you know, this jet fighter, you're going to be spending most of your time doing combat missions for that type.
Hmm.
And so it was kind of like, oh, can all pilots just, like, get in a helicopter and fly it? Because it's very... very different style.
Well, I mean, obviously we have Randy Quaid switching from crop duster
to
getting
jet
into
fighter.
A jet fighter. And you have the president, who obviously hasn't been an Air Force pilot for quite some time, because I don't know how long it's been that he's gone from military Air Force pilot to like governor or senator and then running for president.
So I try to think
and
about
winning.
I try to think about, okay, I was a wildland firefighter back in the day. Now, if I was asked to just like jump in a crew and pick up a chainsaw and start cutting, I know that I could do it, but to do it well in terms of like my life on the line and like give it my all, I would really be scanning through those files of my brain like, okay, anything that I can remember. Like, he hasn't jumped in a plane for how many years, and now he's like back in combat.
Like, have planes stayed the same model? Has technology not improved?
He's obviously the youngest president we've ever had. Like, he's JFK stat. Like, there's no... He's too good looking and too young looking to be nice and old and...
Well, and you know, the Jeff Goldblum's ex-wife actually makes a note of that in the very beginning of the movie. She, you know, is standing there with a newspaper, and he acknowledges her, like, he's like walking to breakfast, and she says, they're not attacking your, you know, policies. They're attacking your age. And so, like, it is acknowledged, the fact that, like, you're a young man. You're a young president.
You just got out of the Air Force. You just... Man.
Oh, gosh. Okay, so Will Smith is done. We have the president is already acknowledged.
Will Smith is not done.
Well, I mean, he's not done.
Don't you dare think
he's
that he's
done.
He's
not done. He's got stuff to do. He's got to punch an alien.
He's
got to
punch an alien and then drag it through the desert in just some random direction.
I love that scene. I love that scene so much.
And this is where I think his career just like a rocket took off, because he's so good in this. I remember how much my friends and I quoted his lines almost exclusively, because he was so cool. He was a Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, but he was just this badass pilot.
Have you noticed how many movies he did that are like aliens? So, Independence Day,
Men in Black,
all the Men in Blacks, and then he did After Earth.
Oh.
I didn't say they were good movies.
Okay. Yeah,
After Earth, in its entirety, is not a bad film. It's his son's accent.
You're gonna narrow it down to that.
I'm gonna narrow it down to the accent.
No,
and the miraculous staff that turns into like 20 different weapons.
That whole hot piece of garbage needs to be put in the trash where it belongs. Like, it's...
I think it's a fun concept that they come back and he's all like, everything here has evolved to kill people. And he's like, where are we? Earth. It's like, really? So everything here that we grew up with?
For 100 years, if there's no human, we're getting on to a
different
movie. That is
completely different movie. We need to make like a new segment for like special little mini episodes, like in this week's crap shoot.
Let's search the dumpster and talk about this for a sec.
Okay, back to Independence Day.
Back to Independence.
We have a father and son who are loving each other despite their differences. We have a president who enjoys lying to his wife to cover for her feelings. And we have an Air Force pilot who just loves this stripper.
Let me ask you this. Jeff Goldblum in Independence Day or Jeff Goldblum in Jurassic Park?
Oh.
Who do you like
who
better?
Do I like more?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to take the fact that it's Jeff Goldblum in Jurassic Park, because it's Dr. Ian Malcolm in Independence Day.
It's the same character.
He literally says the same line with the same intensity. Faster, faster, must go faster.
Although he is way more like swaggy
in Independence Day.
In Jurassic Park, he gets his leg hacked.
Well, I mean,
he literally
says, "I'm always looking for the next like ex Mrs. Ian Malcolm."
Yes, he is just so rock and roll. And then you have in Independence Day much more like nerdy. I think that I gave it a cold. I gave it a virus. It's like,
he gave it.
You are such a geek.
If you look at the still frame when he's uploading the virus, did you see that it said the Trojan horse virus?
What?
It said the Trojan horse virus, which is kind of funny because, you know, they're literally going to be tricking it.
Yeah.
And, you know, playing a trick. But, you know what? It might be the huge difference with the fact that if you're watching this movie today, certain things just kind of, like, don't age it well. Where I think the premise and looking at Jurassic Park, you know it's going to be old. Like, it's modern day, but you have dinosaurs. So you have this mindset of like, oh, cool, everything's going to be old. You watch Independence Day, and they're going through the newsroom, the cable company that he works for. Do you see the Fruitopia, like, soda machine?
Yes.
Do you remember Fruitopia?
Only slightly, but there is you're right. There is a lot of things that...
REM, it's the end of the world, as we know
it. It does get dated pretty easily, and...
It's still fun. I love both characters for Jeff Goldblum and both, but I mean, hands down, it's got to go to Dr. Ian Malcolm.
Yeah.
I think so. I think it's great. And a good counterpoint for Jeff Goldblum's character, you know, David, is while he's in his job, you have Harvey Fierstein as his boss.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. David, where have you been?
I like that in a
not too long after like Mrs. Doubtfire, so you're getting him, you know, kind of like being repurposed for the comedic value. And I love Harvey Fierstein. Everything that like comes out of his mouth literally is funny to listen to because of his voice, and he's just such a dear person.
I think even his death, the way he just like, crap,
oh,
like,
crap, you put me through to my therapist. I don't care if he's there, $300 an hour. You can put me to his house in the Hamptons,
which is true. Like, if I'm calling him, I'm paying that much money, yeah.
But then, like, when the timer goes down, he's like, what, David? What is it? Checkmate. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I need to call my mother. I need to call my brother. I need to call my lawyer. Oh, screw my lawyer. he's such a funny and weirdly placed, like, comic character.
Yeah.
But... I think it's a good balance.
Very good choice.
It's just it's a fun little choice for him.
It's weird though that you have some like good humor kind of peppered in there with Will Smith with him, and then you have these moments where as a younger me hated the tunnel scene because I really thought the dog was going to die. Well, you're shaking your head. No, this really, the fire aside.
I'm shaking my head no because it's one of the worst scenes and it doesn't. Yes, and I'm going to say in a movie where aliens are invading our planet, it doesn't make sense.
That the dog jumps through flames.
No, not even jumping through flames. Okay, one, the aliens have already shot the weapon and is causing this huge explosion to go all over New York.
That's, like, time delayed.
Right. Interesting.
Flames take, you know, 13 seconds to get from one end to the other.
The explosion is hitting the tunnel. For some reason, despite the fact of, like, people screaming, fire erupting, cars honking, the dog can hear her call him and make its way to... a security closet, like a service closet door.
And the door closes behind him.
that she was able to, one, kick down.
Yeah, kick open, yeah.
While holding her son. And so the dog then makes its way inside.
Don't
and
you mess door, with Vivica A. Fox, a mother with her child.
The door doesn't even shut.
Yeah.
The door does not shut, but the fire somehow doesn't, like, go into the room.
It came over and it said, Shire packets.
Fire flew by.
Just checking to see if Mr. Frodo's here. Okay, we're going.
We know you don't understand the science of backdraft. Yeah. If you could go back and just watch that movie, that'd be fantastic.
Again, if you get lost in the science of this movie, we have a whole different podcast.
There's a whole different thing. But
close your eyes. Ignore that part.
That is one of those moments, not only with how bad the special effects were for it, but then again, this was also a time in which... it was kind of groundbreaking special effects.
Yeah.
I mean, every single plane, aside from the biplane that Randy Quaid's character is flying, is all computer generated.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they can make planes, but they're going to have to work on explosions.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And just plotting. That's...
right. But I mean, it's kind of funny to like look at the budget for the film was like $75 million. Okay.
Okay.
Which is fine.
That's actually, yeah, pretty good.
That's not bad. Okay. At the time when the movie came out, it was the highest grossing film. Sorry. It was the highest grossing film of the year. And in turn, for when the year was out, it was the second highest grossing film of all time.
Whoa.
During 1996. Because it was like $75 million for the budget. And then for the world gross at the end of the year, it was like $306 million.
Well, no wonder they were like, we got to make
right.
a sequel someday.
Someday, somehow.
Oh, but look. I mean, like, certain we're going to ruin it.
Like, certain movies were like postponed at the time. Like, I mean, Steven Spielberg stopped his... like post-production stuff of War of the Worlds. Mars Attacks was eventually going to be released, and it was bumped to like fall. I forget when it was bumped to, but it was going to be released around the same time.
Huh.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it did not become like the next Star Wars.
Yeah.
It didn't, but it was still so successful that, hey, you know what? You can't really complain too much with it.
I don't think you can. I mean, it has, in my opinion, one of the best movie monologues.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Like, that monologue, every time I hear it, I get a little bit goosebump.
It's good.
It's well spoken. It is well written. Well, just everything about it. Like, wow.
I think it kind of, like, stands up to, like, Al Pacino's, like, inch-by-inch speech.
Okay.
Now I can't think of the movie that it's from. Is it Any Given Sunday? No. That's not right. I'll find it later, but it does have that like oomph to it. And it's kind of funny because like when he says it at the very end of the speech, when he says like, today we celebrate our Independence Day, that was not part of the original script. He added that the day that they were filming.
The best stuff is always ad-lib.
And they were also like having, because, okay, so like the title for Independence Day is like ID4. Okay.
Okay.
That, and they, originally, at the time, because Warner Brothers was going through some like legal action of trying to like acquire rights for certain things.
When are they not?
And there was a decade before a movie called Independence Day. So they couldn't like call both movies the same thing. It would have created confusion, and then there would have been a big bunch of problems. So they just called it like ID4.
Okay.
Yeah. So I mean, it's weird little like fun facts like that. But Did we touch on the fourth relationship? Did we touch on Randy Quaid and his kids?
Well, let's jump to Quaid, because okay. we did bypass him.
It's okay. So Russell is playing this. I mean, Randy Quaid is playing the character of Russell, who is a crop duster and
a poor father
of three kids living in a not a mobile home. What is it? It's a
trailer.
Trailer, Winnebago?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay. So they have to deal with their father, who is consistently drunk. And he, in the very first instance that we meet him, the son is trying to track him down because he's supposed to crop dust the field and he hasn't done it yet. And the guy's like, you either get him to do it or I'm going to find somebody else and you're going to be out some money. And so he finds him, and inadvertently, the guy, he dusts the wrong field. And he's all like, the field's on the other side of town, you idiot. And he's standing there, and he's clearly drunk while flying the plane. And he's like looking around. He's like, are you sure? I don't.
You have a problem.
you dusted the wrong field.
Your face is the wrong field.
And so instead of like correcting it, he just like reaches in, grabs a bottle of whiskey, and starts drinking it.
Back to it.
And so you have this father who has lost all of the hope that his own kids are going to have for him, because he constantly seems like a disappointment. And it isn't until the very end of the movie where you have Randy Quaid's character sacrifice himself in order to bring back that hope.
Such
that his
trope.
Kids are going to, again, you know, the military guy, after Randy Quaid like flies his plane into the alien spaceship and blows it up, you know, the guy's like, you should be proud of your father.
And that guy's like, Alec Baldwin, and you will address him by major or or sir.
It's not Alec Baldwin.
It's Adam Baldwin. Yeah. Adam.
But he says, like, you know, you should be proud of your father. And he's like, yeah, I am. And I don't know. It seems that their father had to die for him to, like, somehow gain some respect for him.
He's like, so is there going to be, like, compensation for my unqualified dad flying this plane and saving the world? Is that?
So in the, apparently in the original script, Russell's character was not going to be flying a Air Force jet. He was going to be flying
the crop duster.
He was going to be flying the biplane.
No.
With a missile on it. And he was going to purposely fly into the ship and blow it up. But they said, nah, that's not going to work right, because if he's flying into the ship with a missile on a biplane, clearly
he's comic.
Like, he knows that it's going to be a suicide mission.
Yeah.
They wanted it to be more of, like, an emotional connection for the fact that he is doing it that moment. He's deciding at that time, that whole, like, you know, tell my kids I love them. Because the missile wouldn't launch out of the plane.
Well, why won't the missile just fire? And then Gary says, the missile is armed, but it malfunctions. And everyone goes, ooh, Gary, I like it. Oh, write it down.
Good job, Gary. You know what, Gary? It's good. Kill off the character of Russell, because it's clearly what Randy Quaid, you know, became 10 years early.
Yeah, foreshadowing.
Gosh.
But when he... So when he goes up in it and he announces his in the words of my generation,
up yours.
I think Gary had a different line that he's like, why doesn't he just say F you? And they're like, whoa, Gary, this is why you're hit and miss, man. We can't just drop F bombs in this movie. We're trying to make money. Okay. What if he just says something that's more like to his time period?
Hey, boys, I'm back. And it's kind of funny because, like, no one has believed him that he has ever been abducted before. So the entire time, you know, Russell is just telling him, like, there's aliens. No one's listening to me. I was abducted. We could have figured this out a lot sooner.
I mean, okay.
and like the
is it the same aliens? What, it would have been better if one of the aliens just says, like, right before they blow up, goes, "Oh crap!"
Could you see them, like, in the control console, like, looking at the screen of the weapon, and they're like, "What is that?" And he's like, "Oh my god, it's that guy we probed."
Oh, he's back!
He's back. He said he would return. Close the door.
No, speak English.
It's like, I thought you dropped him off in a field 20 years ago.
Way far away.
I did. He was never supposed to make it back to town. I am so sorry.
We thought he'd be the laughing stock of this culture. Like, really?
Oh my gosh.
How could we have predicted this?
But again, no one is believing anything. No one believes this and that. You have the guys constantly harassing Russell. You have even Jeff Goldblum's dad is, like, yelling at the president and telling him, saying, like, you guys knew this. You guys knew that this would happen. You had that ship that landed in Roswell. It's like, you know, and you took it to Area 51.
Which is weird that, like, he's talking about this like it's not something that...
That the rest of America actually already, like, knew. You know
and
what
that,
I mean?
That the president's like, you're just acting
crazy.
Yeah,
he's all like, calm down.
And he doesn't
there's
know.
No such thing as aliens. Roswell doesn't exist. And then there's this schmuck who's all like, that's not entirely accurate.
And acts like wait, like where do you get funding for this? Like he doesn't know that there's tons of government programs to get funding
how
from.
How do I not know that the budget is not including a secret facility that's like 11 stories underground? I mean, one of the biggest things that I kind of like had a concern for when, obviously, this has been going on for quite some time.
Yes.
They knew that the aliens were there. They have all their technology that they're constantly doing studies on. And it's interesting that it's one alien race in Roswell. Okay. In Area 51.
The past 24 hours have been really exciting.
Which has also been dubbed the Ranch, I think it's called. I think, like, that's one of the code names.
George Lucas's Ranch? No.
So they have all the stuff and they're constantly doing, you know, experiments on it and they're researching it. The ship, he's all like, oh my gosh, ever since they came into orbit and they brought, like, the ships down into our atmosphere. Wowie.
Yeah.
All the bells and whistles are constantly going off. And he's like, so you know nothing about the ship? He's like, no, we know a lot about it. We couldn't use it before. nothing really made sense. So this is the ship that fell in Roswell. So it's been around since like the 60s. Okay.
Perfect timing of perfect when they dropped him off.
Right. But I mean, here's the thing.
It all makes sense.
If the ship has been around that long, okay, one, it's in a room specifically built for this ship. It literally has a launch pad for it to fly out of.
They're ready for it.
They're ready for it to be used. My other concern is that when Will Smith and Jeff Goldblum get into that ship and they fly it up to the alien spacecraft. So first off, Will Smith says like, yeah, sir, I know how these ships can move. You know, I've seen them in action. Okay, so it chased you through a canyon and you suddenly know how to fly the ship. But all right. So they get into the ship and they fly it up to the mothership.
He already knows how to fly helicopters and planes, okay? He knows how to fly.
How is an alien ship any different?
He has triple training. He's good. He's a triple trained.
Triple threat. So he gets in they get into the ship and they fly it up.
Oh, that would have been so good.
Landing gear.
Like he tried to take off and like he was still connected.
They did technically have to decouple it.
Yeah.
Okay, but they fly it up to the alien ship. My concern is that they bring it in with like a tractor beam, okay? And you see inside this mothership it's massive. You see a bunch of, you know, pillars with streaming lights, obviously like technology or it's bioorganic or anything like that. But then you see like thousands of troop aliens in their little like bio suits so they can like storm the earth.
Yeah.
So first off, when they bring the ship in and it's being clearly brought to like a docking bay so it can be like checked out and analyzed, do the aliens not realize that they brought in like a classic car? Because if it's been like 30 years, again, do these aliens not upgrade their
technology? It's an older code, sir, but it still checks out. I was about to clear them. Like, this is kind of slipping through your radar. You know that that air traffic controller alien that's there.
He's totally new.
He's like, man, I'm just ready to like on break.
I don't understand. Like, I'm driving my Audi, but I have this Model T here. Yeah, it checks out. It's totally
good
fine.
Good to go. Just park over here.
It's one of those older models, sir. It's
you got
fine.
Something like attached to the bottom of it. Like, what? Did you bring something back?
Did you bring something back? Oh, it also has power windows.
Oh, and he closed the windows. Like, he's got want some privacy. Totally get it, dude. You've been gone a long time.
If you look at the multitude of aliens that are obviously getting ready for an invasion, okay?
Yeah.
Are not the aerial attacks already devastating enough?
I thought about that, where, like, wait a minute. Especially, like, in an alien race that wants to take over for probably resources. Because,
well,
like they said...
According to Bill Pullman, they're locusts.
It's a lot like... They're like, oh, you know, they're a lot like us. And, like, you know, they want a planet, you know. So you want resources from that. So why would you come and just, like, decimate a lot of the resources that you probably could...
Yeah, like, what resources are you going for? Honestly, like, what? What do you eat? You don't have a mouth.
Yeah.
You don't talk. It's all, like, telepathically.
Yeah.
What natural resources are you going for? Because you're destroying cities.
Yeah. And a lot of the life force that you could use maybe, like, enslave.
Oh, my
enslave,
gosh, it makes sense now. This is why they abduct cows. This is why they go for fields and farms.
All cows.
It makes sense now.
But you're right. Like, they, in terms of invasion, kind of
it's
crappy
like
at
the,
it?
Like, the ships seem to be doing well enough. They have their shields. They can't even get, like, dented by a nuke.
Which?
A nuclear weapon.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you know what? That's fine. This is almost a foolproof plan. Until Jeff Goldblum goes up with a very old Macintosh, or is it like an Apple computer? Either way,
Apple
II. I want to know how a human computer is going to hook up to an alien technology
with what?
It literally,
like, with
says,
what?
It literally says like connected to other server.
He's all
how
hey,
are,
what's
how are
your
technologies-
Wi-Fi password? Is it Invasion 4?
Can I hook up the USB cord because I really want to share this download with you?
And like,
so apparently
and
it's
what program? What program it pops up on the alien screen? You know, Model T wants to connect and wants to share files. Do you accept? Do you trust this computer?
Oh gosh, he's trying to airdrop a virus. I don't know. Should I really accept
yes.
it?
Yes.
Okay, but I mean, it's, again, funny enough, where they set the bomb and it has 30 seconds, which again seems to be a time limit that is consistent throughout films when they set a bomb. That, like, it's just enough time to escape, but also just enough time for something to go wrong.
Of course, because why would you, you know, give yourself 2 minutes and actually, like, be able to...
I mean, I don't think that they're going to be able to, like, disarm the bomb, honestly.
Yeah.
Within that time. I mean, he's one of them is on the ground after it's been shot into, like, the docking station, you know, control room. And the other one's just, like, looking at it, very confused, don't know, really understand what it is. The other ships are trying to get in. Jeff Goldblum is, you know, doing his, like, faster, 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 must go faster, out, exit, exit. Quit side seat driving. Yeah.
The banter between the two of them is very good.
It's funny. So. It's clever. And yet, apparently, at the very end of the movie, when they crash the ship, they're still smoking the cigars, which are somehow still lit.
Oh, I mean, travel from there to, you know... seconds
but still, like, and crashing, like, did they light it on the flaming wreckage that they apparently are walking away from?
Yeah, you know, we'll go with that. There's, again, lots of parts of this movie don't really hold that much water, but
all in all, it's fine. It's a great movie where, like,
fun.
I mean, it is a outside threat that everybody is coming together for.
Yeah,
right.
So that actually brings me to my cut it out scene.
Okay.
So let's get into our segments. So right. This next one is cut it out.
What were you thinking?
Well, you got me. By all accounts, it doesn't make sense.
And you've got to cut it out.
Drew, why do we have cut it out?
You know, we have cut it out. For those of you who are brand new to the show, cut it out is a segment of the show where we take a look at different parts of the movies and we think, ugh. Like, why is that there? That doesn't make any sense.
Can we reshoot this? Can we do something?
Can we take it out? So if it's a part of a movie that, one, could be completely taken out of the film, but it won't detract from the overall movie, it's still the same story, it's still a great film, this is why we have cut it out.
So my cut it out is this very stereotyping of other countries where Germany still... the Nazis, apparently, like, in this castle while it's raining, right, and they're by candlelight. Like, oh, American, you know, like, everything about it just screams, oh, America had to figure it out because nobody's doing anything to solve this.
Right, it's a worldwide conflict, but only America can solve this.
Oh my gosh, this movie would have been 10 times better if Jeff Goldblum and Will Smith are up there in their spaceship, and another spaceship parks next to them. And this, like, French guy, like, waves, we got a nuke, too! And
suddenly it's, like, a giant armada.
Of just all these old spaceships that we've collected on Earth that we all finally, like, are ready to set forth. And we get all, everyone's all lined up. China's over here. Libya's over here. Like, we're all in line. And
this is the worldwide Space Force.
And that's when all of them at the same time go, peace!
And they fire all one weapon. In the midst of destroying the Earth because the fallout of the ship, of the mothership falling and hitting our planet. Oh, gosh. You know, it's...
So, but this whole scene where, oh, America has to figure it out, could have been done so much better. But at the time, I think back in the day, we were really like, America, like...
Well, I mean, I get that.
We get shit done.
But it's also making, like, all the other, like, countries, I was going to say all the other planets, all the other countries, like, looking incompetent. You have this, like, okay, so they can't take actual, like, computer messages being sent around. So it's all Morse code. And they're
which
all,
like, nobody and the, thought of before.
And the Brits are all like, it's the Americans. They want to make a counteroffensive. They have a plan. And the other guy's like, what's about bloody time? What do they want? And I'm thinking, no one else is trying to think of something? Everyone's just sitting around and they're like, have we had any messages? No?
No. Okay.
Cheers.
Keep doing nothing.
Keep doing nothing. Excellent. Good. There you go. And I mean, like, with the camaraderie and, like, people coming together, because literally it is a worldwide conflict. When this movie came out, Libya, I believe it was Libya. I could be very, very wrong. But I believe it was Libya that boycotted the film itself. Because there's a scene in the movie where gosh, I can't speak today. Soldiers from Israel and soldiers from Libya were working together.
Oh.
And it's kind of like, no, never.
We
choose death.
Not to fight. Wow.
So yeah, they banned the movie, which I found to be interesting.
A loss for them.
Interesting.
You know, you don't want to be part of world.
The second highest grossing film.
Yeah. In the world.
It could have been first.
It could have been.
Thanks Libya.
Oh, I
apologize
to
any of our Libyan listeners.
Yeah. Yeah, if
these are stats and hatred from 1996.
Yeah, this is all just for that. We're just reciting
We're
it.
Reciting.
Drew, what was your cut it out?
So my cut it out has to be when Randy Quaid's character is getting prepped by the Air Force guy to tell him like you're gonna go up.
Adam Baldwin,
Air Force guy. So he's telling them like you're all gonna go on the planes. You're gonna be having the missiles and stuff like that, and Randy Quaid's son is bringing him coffee, and he's like, careful, Dad, it's hot, it's a little strong, and so he takes a drink of the coffee, and he looks at his son, and he says, like, okay, keep him coming, because obviously he's trying to, like, get
sober up.
His hangover fixed, he's trying to sober up, but it's the son's, like, look on his face. It's the look on his face where he's all like, okay, yeah, okay, I'll go get you more. Like, he's so excited that his father's going to be sober.
Hey, do you want any? Hey, you, sir, I'm going to do a coffee run. I got two hands. I'm
doing a coffee run. My dad can walk straight.
Today's a good day.
Today's a great day. So that'd be my cutout. Not for the fact that, like, it's a good thing that Randy Quaid is obviously going to be sober, despite the fact that he has the line, I chose the wrong day to quit drinking. But it's the overzealous excitement of the kid that just seems, I don't know, it's weird. It's too campy.
Okay.
It's too campy for me.
Hey, cut it out. I'm good.
Cut it out. How about like one of the best scenes?
I mean, the best scene at the time during when we first watched this movie when I was young. I think one of the best scenes is when Will Smith crashes and lands, unbuckles, or is trying to unbuckle from his parachute, and is just screaming at this alien, like, who's the man? Who's the man? What? Like,
who's here now?
Yeah, that, just because everyone's been in that moment where you have defeated something that you're like, be it a video game, be it someone else, your coworker,
especially when you think that you're gonna lose.
Yeah, like you're giving it your all, and they're giving it their all, and you win. And you're just like, yeah, take that. And man, he delivers those lines so well. I love that scene. It's just him acting to some smoking wreckage.
Right.
It's great.
This way! This way! Get up! Get up! That's what you get! Look at you! Ship all banged up? Who's the man? Huh? Who's the man? Wait till I get another plane! I'm lining all your friends up right beside you! Where you at, huh?
I would have to go along with the same time in which he has had the alien, and it's kind of like it's almost like a transitional period when he's dragging the alien along in the parachute. And he's all like, I could have been at a barbecue. I could have been fine. And what?
Dragging your dreadlocks.
Your ass through the desert. And what is that smell?
You know, this was supposed to be my weekend off. But no. You got me out here dragging your heavy ass through the burning desert with your dreadlocks sticking out the back of my parachute. You gotta come down here with an attitude, hacking all big and bad. And what the hell is that smell?
But the biggest moment for me that I think I laughed the most at, when the caravan of like Winnebagos and RVs is coming up to the Area 51, and he's all like, I'm sorry, sir. Sorry, Captain, I can't let you in without some clearance. He's like, Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, some clears. Hey, come here a second. And he pulls back the parachute.
Very quickly.
And you see this face, the alien's face. And he's like, oh! He's like, well, there's my clearance. How about I leave this here with you? He's like, let him through. He's like, let us through. Get the hell out of the way.
That's right.
That's right. So I think that would definitely be it.
Now, from the best scenes come some of the best lines.
I would agree. Yeah.
Which I would say our next segment lines right up with, you can say that again.
You can say that again.
Oh, my goodness. That's the most badass thing I've ever heard.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
You can say that again.
One of my favorite segments that we do, Drew. I love, you can say that again. Explain to these children at home exactly what we do with, you can say that again.
Guys, whenever you watch a movie, you always think of those lines that are so classic, they're hilarious.
Landing gear.
And you also have the lines that touch your heart, make you cry.
Landing gear.
That make you angry. Landing gear.
Oh, yeah.
And you have the best lines that you always remember, and you also have some of the worst lines.
Just garbage. Just throw it away.
Which oftentimes,
Gary.
Which oftentimes can also be just as popular as the best lines. So that's why we have You Can Say That Again. And I'm going to go with the worst line that I have first.
Okay.
Because I like starting off with some bad news and getting to the good.
I'll follow that. I'll follow
right,
suit.
Right. It's got to be when Vivica A. Fox is talking to her other stripper friend. And she's like, you're not going to go out there, are you? She's like, oh, yeah, we're going to go meet the aliens. But it's Vivica A. Fox saying, I got a bad feeling about this. got a bad feeling about what? The 15 ships hovering over like major cities around the world?
Tiffany, listen to me a sec. I've got a really bad feeling about this. I don't want you to go.
What's your bad feeling?
They just want to say hi. Like, yeah.
What good
is coming of this?
Is coming of this? Of course it's a bad feeling.
And her friend is so dumb. And breaks her promise.
She does break her promise.
You know?
She goes to the top of that,
like, promise
that building.
You're not going to go out there with them. She's like, okay.
I also want to know how those people like got on into that building and to the rooftop, which apparently had open access.
Yeah. Wasn't like someone like going like, oh, you guys got to get off. Or the helicopter's like, get off the building. Like,
you must disperse.
They might need to land there. Like, what?
We want to stay. Then you have that idiot that, like, you can hear in the background. He's like, I hope they bring back Elvis. So that's my worst line.
My worst line. And I know that it's going to be a good line for others.
Okay.
Because, I mean, I'm pretty sure Gary wrote this line. So, but honestly, the welcome to Earth.
Welcome to Earth.
I hate it. Everyone else was celebrating Gary writing that line and thinks it's great. I think it's
the most iconic line, though.
It is so tropey, campy. You would rather say
Welcome to Earth is the worst line, not Will Smith taking out the cigar and going, that's what I call a close encounter.
Crap, that is actually, that's right next to it, too. Because that line, referencing another movie, like, just, he gets too many of these little one-liners in this span that they can't all be winners.
No.
And the Welcome to Earth feels so, we need a good line for the trailer. And is that what you would say after you punch an alien in the face?
Oh, no.
And then just turn your back to it because you think that your
Because one punch is going to knock it out.
Crashing into the earth.
He fell into, like, fog. Like, dry ice coming out of the ship. Like, you don't know where he went.
He just comes back up with a gun. He's like, sorry.
He could
like,
be grabbing a gun.
You punched my helmet. Like, I'm good.
Well, they don't know that at the time. That's like a bio suit. But yeah, okay, that's good. All right. For a best line, can I just say Bill Pullman's entire speech?
There it is, right there. I have one line from it that gets me just like, oh, that is, I think, the biggest part of it. Actually, roll that monologue for them. They need to hear it.
Good morning.
Good morning.
In less than an hour, aircraft from here will join others from around the world. And you will be launching the largest aerial battle in the history of mankind. Mankind, that word should have new meaning for all of us today. We can't be consumed by our petty differences anymore. We will be united in our common interest. Perhaps it's fate that today is the 4th of July. And you will once again be fighting for our freedom. Not from tyranny, oppression, or persecution. But from annihilation. We're fighting for our right to live. To exist. And should we win the day, the 4th of July will no longer be known as an American holiday, but as the day when the world declared in one voice, we will not go quietly into the night. We will not vanish without a fight. We're going to live on. We're going to survive. Today, we celebrate our Independence Day.
Ugh. When he says we can't be consumed by our petty differences any longer, it's ahead of its time, because obviously we still haven't figured it out yet.
I don't think it's ahead of its time. I think any world leaders and any president could acknowledge the fact that there are petty differences everywhere around the world.
But it just speaks to that. That's what I mean. Everyone needs to sit down, shut up, and fight this enemy that is literally going to
this
end.
This is exactly the movie. Yes. The movie literally says, hey, we are coming together, not as different races, not as different countries. We are coming together
mankind.
As mankind.
We
yes.
are fighting for our right to survive.
You mean not the right to party?
Yeah. That would have been so great to hear.
You gotta fight for your right. To party!
That whole monologue, though, in my opinion, probably top three speeches given in movies. Yep.
It's pretty dang great.
Yeah.
But, I mean, everything that really, came out of this movie, you can't really hate. You can't.
No.
You can turn. There's nothing really out of this movie that you can genuinely hate.
Not at all.
You can come back to it and think, this could have been better, or I wish this was better. And again, 1996, things have gotten better.
Yeah.
All right. From what I hear, the sequel wasn't that great.
I almost would have rather they just rebooted it instead of tried to do...
Really?
This let's do a sequel to it where we've used kind of some of the technology and we have a little bit better, we're more advanced than we are currently, but it's this, we don't have Will Smith. We have Bill Pullman, which that's awesome. It's just missing parts to it that I don't know.
Apparently Brent Spiner is back.
Yes.
In Resurgence, which this is what they're saying is happening in the new releases of Independence Day. They cut the scene where they take his pulse and they say that he's dead. And they claim it that he was only in a coma.
Well, I don't even know if they, did they...
Do they say that he's dead?
I don't think he says, he just, checks his pulse.
Oh, okay, but, sorry.
He, pulls the little tentacle off him.
They check it. I think they cut the part then that where, when he's checking for his vitals, that...
He's dead, Jim. no. That's a Star Trek, though.
That's a Star Trek reference for Data.
Even though it's not the same state. Anyways.
So, but, yeah, Brent Spiner is back, and, I mean... Sometimes sequels can go right, sometimes sequels can go completely wrong, but I think that, again, this is a movie that will stand the test of time. I think certain things definitely hold up. I would, first and foremost, give it, I would give it a 4 out of 5 Goldblums.
Okay. That's 4 out of 5. I would almost, because of how...
Just because of Bill Pullman's speech?
Yeah, it
does it get
elevates
5 Goldblums?
I would say
five Pullmans.
Yeah, that was gonna be mine. Five Welcome to Earths.
Five Welcome to Earths. The amount of times that Coca-Cola is clearly seen in the film.
Oh, is that the what they shoot at?
You know, it's like shoot that Coke can.
that delicious Coca-Cola can. Don't worry, I just drank it. It didn't go to waste. Still a great movie.
It's so good. You even have the daughter being a little cliche at the very end, very very cutesy, you know, hugging her dad, happy 4th of July, Daddy.
Is it today?
As like the mothership is raining down in fire, and Will Smith like holds up.
Vivica this isn't going to change our climate at all.
Right? He's like holding the kid, and he's all like, "Didn't I promise you fireworks? Like, do you see that wreckage? You see that flaming wreckage? That's their bodies burning in the atmosphere." Didn't I promise you fireworks?
Isn't this awesome, son? Oh gosh,
oh, it's my rough, gosh, guys. But great. You know what? We here at the Real Feels Podcast, we definitely love the idea of Independence Day, where people are coming together and they're fighting, you know, a force to be reckoned with. But more importantly, it's the camaraderie of everyone coming together and working together, and that's what
cue the music go
clearly have with the podcasting community, guys. We love all of our friends, first and foremost, that are on not only like Facebook and Twitter, but we have different shows that have consistently been there and always given little shout outs. They played our promos. They have done a lot for us and left reviews. And, you know, from myself and Nathan, we want to thank you.
We really do.
We want to say that we love each and every one of you that have been supportive of us in this endeavor, for, you know, us being a brand new podcast. I mean, this is only episode 11, but, you know, we're still pretty green.
We're kind of like the kids that came into the lunchroom and we had nowhere to sit, and this whole like table of like 30 podcast, you know, co-hosts since then are like, over here, oh, yeah, over here, come here. Here, like making a big deal of it. We're like, oh, okay, awesome, then. Yes. Nice. Yeah. We already have friends at this new school. So, yeah, I really appreciate just the welcome that we've got from multiple
people. I mean, we have, you know, the Retro Cinema Podcast with Gidget Von LaRue, and Angry Man, you know, the More Gooder Than Podcast with Chris, Corey, and Donnie. We have the guys over from Work, Life, and Balance.
Home trees.
Joe Ketchum from the quote-unquote Guilty Podcast. And, you know, these people that come together, and again, they show us love. We're going to show them some love. So, guys, we have some promos for you to listen to from some of our favorite people out there in the podcast land.
And tell you what, we will probably try and get some of them in on some of these movies.
Oh, definitely.
Definitely.
Gidget Von LaRue is already kind of chomping at the bit. Okay. She wants to come on and do some 80s. Which definitely is going
to
be happening.
Oh, no. Don't twist my arm to watch 80s movies. No. Oh, gosh.
We got Sean from the What Does It Matter podcast. He really wants to come on and do something. And that is definitely going to be something that could be happening in the near future.
Okay.
You know, I mean, different people. Different people. You got Steve and Izzy from Everything I Learned from Movies.
Mm.
They know their stuff. They always have a fantastic show. And you know what, guys? I'm talking too much. I'm talking
promos.
Too much. Here's some promos.
Hi, this is Two Girls on a Bench, the podcast. So we're two writers who tend to procrastinate just a bit.
We like to snack. We like to talk.
We don't have time to write, but we have time to do this podcast.
We certainly do. Join us on the bench.
Listen in.
At number two, Girls on a Bench.
Hey everybody, I'm Steve.
And I'm Izzy.
And this is Everything I Learned from Movies. And tonight, like every night, we bring you questionable movies and pass the lessons that we've learned on to you, as well as we go over some great beer and funny third thing.
Yes, we're excellent beer reviewers, and as BJCP certified beer judges, we sort of know what we're talking about in regards to that. The movies?
So if you want to hear us talk about odd movies and is he talking about Beijing,
woo!
Listen to us at eilfm.podbean.com. That's everything I learned from movies.podbean.com.
Hey, honey, are you ready to pop that top? Woo! My top!
Hey there, it's Chris from More Gooder Than, where we rate and dissect pop culture one argument at a time. I'm joined by my compadres, Corey Sasso.
What it is, home trees.
And Donnie the Big D Carr.
Que mas?
For those of you that would be joining us for the first time, Corey, Donnie, and I each take the side of some piece of pop culture and try and sway the world to agree with our opinions on which one is most goodest, with a 100% money-back guarantee to entertain you in the process. So we've done which is goodest out of the Indiana Jones trilogy.
We've also covered the twin film phenomenon like Armageddon and Deep Impact.
We've also compared and contrasted excellent Bill Paxton performances.
So if that's something that you guys like to enjoy, check us out on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, SoundCloud, and our website, mgtpodcast.com. You can also follow us on Twitter, at mgtpodcast. Thanks, and check us out.
What Does It Matter Podcast? A non-topical solution for your topical problems. Movies, pop culture, music, foul language, you got it. WDIMpodcast.blogspot.com. Also follow us on Twitter at WDIMpodcast. The fun never ends, and it's something real.
Okay, guys, you have to go out and just check out those shows. I will leave links in the show notes for all the shows that we played promos for today, maybe even some more. But go out there, spread your horizons, and find different podcasts to listen to.
There's some good ones.
We love the fact that you can come and join us every other week. But
absolutely.
You know what, guys? Go out there. Make some friends.
And just see how well they drop some of those real feels in their little segments that they do. It's a good time.
It's a good time. It is a good time. So, Nathan, I mean, with the fact that we're clearly done with the movie, we talked about our friends, like, what's been going on? What has been happening,
you know, real
this
quick,
week?
This week, one of my sons had his birthday.
Yes.
2 years old now, Ethan.
Oh, and, my bubbas.
Yeah, that's the life of
him. He's a good kid.
He is.
He doesn't want to hug me anymore, but he's a good kid.
He's going to come around. Like, once he's kind of at that stage where, like...
No longer stranger danger.
Yeah. Which, I still got to, like... It's a weird balance. Being a dad, you're like, oh, this is cool, but this isn't. This is okay, but watch out for this.
Right.
Everything. What about you, man?
You know...
What's new?
Not a whole lot is new. I mean, I'm still, like, house hunting, so that's still a thing.
Ooh.
For me. Trying to adult. As I grasp some invisible suspenders. And let's see, gosh, I went out and saw a couple of movies. Went and saw Jurassic Park and Incredibles 2.
Thumbs up, thumbs down?
You know what? Incredibles 2, definite thumbs up.
Okay.
Jurassic Park, it was visually stunning. I, however, felt the writing was a little weak.
Okay.
But, I mean, it didn't take away that there were some good parts in the film.
Okay.
Not at all. Not at all.
So wavering.
Wavering, you know what? I mean, if I was going to look at it out of like a score of 10, I'd give it like a strong 6.5, maybe.
Okay.
Maybe 7. But it's weak writing. It was very, very weak writing.
So you're Commodus from Gladiator, just with that thumb, not sure whether to give Gladiator, you know? Yeah.
But I mean, it's been a fun, you know, section of the movies. And gosh, been teaching summer school, so that was that.
Ooh.
Yeah, summer school's fun. Kids are a hoot. I was also on the quote-unquote Guilty podcast with Joe Ketchum and Jeff Burnham from Cadavercast.
How was that?
That was a lot of fun. We talked Ernest Goes to Camp.
And with Ernest movies, a scale of 1 to 10 on those, because, like, I'll be honest with you right now. I've never watched Ernest. So yeah.
You almost took my breath away.
Whoa.
You've never watched an Ernest movie?
Not one. I've watched segments, but...
I'm hurt.
It's
I don't even know if I'm disappointed. I'm just hurt.
And I don't even know why, because it's not like it was, I think, like too vulgar or anything like that.
No, you know, it's not vulgar at all. Like, they are purely kid movies.
Yeah. I don't know. It just...
Well, lucky for you, I have about 7 of them on DVD.
Whoa, okay.
So, I think you're in luck.
Fire them up. Okay.
It's fun. So, if you guys want to listen to me and Joe and Jeff talk about Ernest Goes to Camp, you can check out the quote-unquote guilty podcast with Joe Ketchum. And Joe and Jeff and Alistair on Cadavercast actually just released their episode on Ernest Scared Stupid.
Oh.
So that's also fun too. So if you need to get your Ernest on, if you're Ernest.
Earnestly. Yeah. Hit it up.
You can go check those up. But hey guys, you know, thank you for joining us today and talking about Independence Day.
And on Independence Day. Well, what do you know?
So you know, guys, you go enjoy your 4th of July, and we hope you are going to be safe, most importantly.
Absolutely.
Having fun. You know, enjoy your time, friends, family, maybe a good morsel to eat, a cold drink.
One or two.
Maybe, but in moderation. Again, moderation. We want them to be balance. Safe. And, you know, light off them fireworks.
Real quick, Drew, where can they get in touch with us to let us know what some of their Independence Day traditions are?
You know what? We would love to hear what you do for 4th of July. You can contact us anytime, not just for Independence Day and 4th of July traditions, on Facebook. You can look for us on Facebook. You can send us a message on Twitter at RealFeelsPod. You can also email us directly at RealFeelsPodcast@gmail.com.
I like it.
Yeah. So, you know, guys, coming up on episode 12, we have our thriller movie.
Ooh.
And I'll tell you right now, there are... there's no limits to this movie.
Yeah, the possibilities are...
Limitless? Limits? Yeah, we're doing Limitless with Bradley Cooper.
Bradley Cooper!
So...
I love it.
Hope you guys have a fantastic 4th of July. And hey, don't forget to rate, subscribe, leave some reviews.
5-star. Oh. Oh, that was going to be a good... Overlay of 5 stars and landing gear.
But yeah, guys, we love seeing all the reviews from you guys. More importantly, we love you. So hey, you are the realest.
And the feelest.
We'll see you later.
Later.
We'll raise the flag.